Many things are going to be turned around, and that God's going to begin to take back that which is His. And more importantly, one of the prophets who will be ministering in our June conference, Kent Christmas. And by the way, I want to make sure that you know this as well, that the people from Dalton, Georgia, Johnny Taylor, and that team ministering healing, they'll be with us in late August. We haven't set a date yet. We'll get on that just right away so you can mark your calendars. Don't miss meetings like this. Be sure that you don't. Neither of these meetings. So Ken Christmas said, has declared the greatest supernatural display of the glory of God that man has ever seen will begin in the year 2018. Now, he's a man that doesn't just go around saying things. They've had him at Rock Church for 20 years every year. And you know Ann Jimenez is straight down the pike. Iverna Tompkins told me yesterday, Iverna is Judson's sister, that she agrees the time is at hand, that we will see what has been prophesied. But she said, with one exception, it's going to be much more than they said it's going to be. And we're being told that it's time to go in and take the promise that God has held out to us. You know, the story of Joshua is a biblical picture in Revelation of how we can finally, everybody say finally, get out of the wilderness. Some people just seem to be so wilderness inclined. We can get out of the wilderness into the promised land. How many are for that?
Amen.
This account actually shows us who goes into the promised land and who doesn't. And beyond that, it makes it very clear why they succeed or fail. Now, the Lord spoke to me to study this whole picture, and I've been doing that. And to refresh my memory of the whole thing, because it's a picture. Joshua finally does take a new breed of Israelites into the land. But it's a new breed. It's not the old murmurers. And complainers, and people that despise what they had before. The purpose of the book of Joshua is to show how God keeps His original promise and that He made to Abraham, and how the wicked were expelled out of the land. So Deuteronomy is a book of remembering. And in Deuteronomy, it says in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 1, "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw, by the way, of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea." Actually, several times it did. "And I said unto you, you are come to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God does give us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near to me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land." They're always making promises. "And bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they returned and went up to the mountain and came to the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands." Wouldn't it be awful to take it in your hands and then go back to the wilderness? That's what happens when people backslide from being in the midst of the move and miracles of God. They take it in their hands and then go back to the wilderness. It's a serious, terrible, deceptive thing that happens to people. And they took the fruit in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it's a good land which the Lord does give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he brought us forth I mean, if people just don't like things, they decide God hates them. Hello. Wild, isn't it? He's brought forth out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. God's suspicion is bad business. I'd advise you not to hold God in suspicion. It's kind of like the man who, a class of students were all listening to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And the young man who was an upstart who jumped up and said, I think it would have been better if he had done such and such. You know that's da-da-da-dun. You know that one? I think it would have been better if he had done this, 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 this. And the professor said, I thank you, young man, but Beethoven is not on trial. Here you are. Now, there's going to be a people in our day who are going to go into the promised land.
That's right.
God will raise up leaders who are of good courage and are ready to lead them. It will not be people who rebel. People who rebel are not going into the promised land. And it will not be people that are murmurers and complainers. So find something good to brag about. I mean, just every good thing you can see, just talk about it. And if some little thing irritates you, things irritate me and gall me just a little bit every now and then, I just say to myself, self, everything doesn't have to be the way you think would be better. Come on now, let's get with it. We can be champions of praise.
Amen.
It will be cheerful and thankful people who have the courage and faith to obey God. How can we be sure that God's going to bring a people into His promised land? After such great failure, why would God have this determination? Now, Numbers 14, because the story's just spread out just a little bit for our purpose today, we can pick it up. In Numbers 14, verse 20, the Lord said, I've pardoned, because Moses is having to beg forgiveness for the people for their ignorance. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Listen to this. You know, you might defeat yourself, but you'll never defeat God. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
That's why I know people are going to go into the promised land. Because all those men have seen my glory. Those men had seen my glory. Now, we've seen some of His glory here. I've seen some of His glory in other places. If I could spend my life there, I'd be happy. Oh, my. Oh, it's so wonderful. They've seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Moses delivered the people out of Egypt through a series of miracles. God released them from their outward bondage to Pharaoh. But how hard it is to get people out of Egypt, but you've got to get Egypt out of them.
That's right.
You know, when God called us into this ministry, He called us out of Egypt. I mean, He meant for our lives to change. Those of you that are sitting here this morning, you're here today because you're willing to say, God, you know, my life's not so hot. And I'm willing for it to change. And I want to please Jesus now. And I want to do what He's doing in the earth. And He called us out of Egypt. And He wanted to bring us into His promised land, which we had never even heard of before. They told me that Ann Jimenez said at that meeting that, she said, I'm 85 years old. I've seen it all. And she said, you know, she was saved in T.L. Osborne's meeting. That was probably around 1948, somewhere in there. And so she's seen that move of the Spirit, which she said was stronger than the next move of the Spirit. That there were more miracles. It was stronger than the charismatic move. But then she said, but then there's a great one coming. And that's the reaping of the harvest. It was the New Testament promise the New Testament promised land, is a little bit different, but it's the same promise, it's the same God, it's the same Holy Spirit. And it's the same God promising he's going to get glory and he's going to have a people go to the land and he's going to raise up some people with crazy courage that are going to go into the land. If you ever are reluctant to take these steps, I just want to ask you, is what you got right now so great that you can't risk letting go of it? I don't have anything so great that I couldn't just give up right now to go to any mountain, any desert, any ocean, and make God's name great to the best of my ability. But the New Testament promise that he gave to us was a land where people could know Jesus personally. We'd never knew Jesus personally before.
That's right.
In our Methodist church, I'd never heard of these revivals that Ann Jimenez was talking about. It was just a negative miracle this good news could be kept away. It's amazing. But what he offered us here was a land where we would turn from selfishness and receive the Holy Spirit to empower us to set captives free. Don't join the Ain't It Awful Club. Join the Jesus Delivers Club.
Amen.
It was a land of supernatural healing he offered us. We'd never had that before. And miracles. And Jesus himself was good for the promise. His blood, his name. And he offered us miracles and healing and the fivefold ministry and the gifts of the Spirit and each of us to be ministers in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, who wouldn't want that? Well, some people might think they want it, but sometimes they get into it and it's a little bit more than they bargained for because if you have the pearl of great price, you've got to buy the whole field. That's what the Scripture says. You have to put up with people and everything like that. In Mark 16, Jesus made this promise, verse 17, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." We wait for that all our lives. I remember Judy saying when we came into the river movement, that was about early 90s, 94, and people were falling under the power of the Spirit, and wonderful, wonderful things were happening, and you could lay your hands on people. I mean, several people in this church could do that at the time, and they'd fall under the power, or sometimes just come near them, and they would. Signs and wonders make you wonder. And I remember Judy saying, "I've wanted this all my life. I don't really want anything but the power and presence of God and to do the will of God. I don't really want anything else. There's not anything else to want." People just waste their whole lives doing things. I said to John, "Maybe I just don't relate anymore, honey." We watched this program where these men were climbing up one of Mount Everest mounts, the one that's supposed to be the worst, and we turned it off because the language got stupid. And I said, "Well, I guess they think that they have to talk that way to go up that mountain." But anyway, before I shut the guy down, I won't let people talk like that in my house.
Thank you, Lord.
I said, "I know you won't do it." But anyway, they were in a tent on a side, I'm talking a rock slope, looking down 20,000 feet. And they had carried a pack that weighed 200 pounds up there, and they were up to that point, and however it is they attached themselves, it just looked to me like they were just sort of swinging in the breeze up there. And they had to stay there 4 days because a storm came, and they just sat in there with their little Bunsen burner and their junk and ate up all the food almost for the whole week, and an avalanche comes down in the middle of the storm, and they still go on up that mountain. I said to John, "I don't relate to that." Well, how many of you relate to that? I mean, if you can relate to that, I just think you need prayer. But now I can relate to this. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." In John 10, he says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I mean, abundantly means more than you need. I'm talking about getting up out of this poverty mentality and getting hold of everything that you need.
Amen.
I had never seen a land like that before, like that promised land I just was reading to you. It's like when they came out with those grapes as big as basketballs, carrying those grapes in a land flowing with milk and honey, whatever in the world that exactly means. It's something just really good. Cows, a land flowing with cows and bees. And so, it was a wonderful thing. God only doeth wondrous things. You know, He doesn't do anything that's not wonderful. And I didn't know that God was still doing that kind of thing on earth. And now His Spirit, He revealed that He had brought us into a new day. That was in 73, back in there. That we would literally walk in these things, and we have. And now you can believe this promise and take courage and plan to take the promised land on the next step. Or you can stall out like the Israelites did. They acknowledged that it was a good land, but they were afraid of the commitment and the sacrifice. Besides, they were hungry for leeks and garlics, and I don't relate to that either. That might be expected of them, or the changes that they might have to make in their lives. This is an American stopping point if you have to make any changes in your lives. What's so wonderful about the way our lives are that we can't make any changes? Remember one time when we built this platform out here, I wanted to get down closer to the people. Now, this is somebody that's not in the church. And it was a long time ago that we did this, but a little boy, after the service, came over to me, had his hands in his pockets, and he says, "Pastor, my daddy said it wasn't a good thing for you to do, putting that platform out there." And I said, "Well, you know something? You just watch how it's going to be, and you're going to see that it was a good thing to do." Now, all the little boy was thinking was the children in those days danced a whole lot, and they just wanted a whole space to dance in, and in their selfish way, this platform is just in the way of what they wanted to do. Well, sometimes we get real small, too, about our preferences, don't we? Don't put that platform there. I might want to dance there. Well, dance somewhere else already. But a child can't see that. As they just hung up on the last thing they did, be willing for your life to change.
Yes.
God is looking for people that are willing to go into the land. And He'll take the people in, and they'll experience His supernatural lifestyle. Now, in Numbers 14:23, it says this, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit..." You remember they came back down. Caleb and Joshua said, "We can do it. We want to do it." "He had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." God doesn't give up, you know. "Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get into the wilderness..." I'm sorry, that's the way it's written in the Bible. I didn't think it made any sense either. "Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation?" which "murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, and they murmur against me." You know, it's a sad thing to complain about God and not be thankful for what He gives us. Jay, I want to come down there and finish this, because I've got a couple more things that I want to tell you here. And I am very excited today that I believe that God is saying something fresh to us. I'm talking to our congregation. I need to hold that other sweet hand of yours, Jay. And how's Mary doing? Is she doing better? He doesn't want to say over the microphone. It's all right. We love Jay and Mary. They've been with us a long time. They found us in the phone book.
That's right.
Phone book's not very effective anymore, but it was.
It used to be a communication.
I know it used to be a communication. People have now gone to lots of other things, you know. Now, Jay, if you'll put that over here, and then I can put my notes on it if I want to. It won't be on my way. This was a suggestion someone made, because our people here are all brilliant. No. I just want to the side. There you go. That's exactly right, Jay. Thank you. And say unto these people, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all of them that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land. I mean, if you live a certain way, if you rebel, if you resist, if you murmur against God, if you say, well, God will overlook this, you know, he loves me. Yeah, he loves you, but there's just a lot of stuff you'll miss. I mean, why would God want to take a whole bunch of hateful people over into the promised land to represent him? Hateful people don't represent God very well.
No.
See what I'm saying? And if you're a murmurer, you haven't gotten delivered of that hateful spirit yet. We need to be set free from that so God can send us into his promised land and bring him glory. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said would be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land that you have despised. So he just goes ahead and brings in another generation. Now the Lord's not, you know, it's an amazing thing, you know. David Shock used to tell me like this. He said, you know, we knew of a lizard that we had that if you cut off his tail, he would grow another one. And he said, but you know, in the church, if people leave the church, they can't grow another body. You know, you can't just cut yourself off from the body and think you can grow another body. It's not going to happen that way. You just need to leave all your parts right in the middle of what God's doing. And I think that you can just be part way in and part way out. It's a thing we're doing together. I was just musing about how wonderful it was when we first came into the ministry here. And everybody did everybody. We didn't have a union then. And so whatever it was that needed to be done, if it was cleaning, if it was cooking, if it was mowing, if it was painting, nobody was too good to do anything. Or too spiritual, by the way. You know, there's not some of us that are so spiritual that all we do is sit around and pray and look to the heavens so that we can bless you spiritually while you do all the hard work. We don't believe that. We believe that spiritual people can work hard.
Amen.
Our work is more like a mission work than it is like a local church. In a local church, you put that thing on the corner and you've got enough money to hire a janitor and you come to church on Sunday if you want to, you know. But if you're going into a land to populate that land and to show the whole world, hopefully give the world a little flavor of what the kingdom's like, where people get healed and miracles happen and people love each other and all of that kind of thing, then it takes everybody being a part of the body, see? The other thing was what religious people came up with so they wouldn't have to do much and hopefully go to heaven. And I don't blame them. See, that's why I became a Methodist. My mother was in the Pentecostal church, but I became a Methodist because I thought I could get to heaven cheaper. And the Lord got me anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, here I am doing it all. Because he says if you're going to follow him, you've got to give it all. He wants your whole... That's what discipleship, that's what being a disciple is. Now, there's a lot of people that are just churchgoers and don't ever plan to become disciples. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus and obeys His commandments and is willing to give up everything else to do what He says to do. Now, I don't believe in just being Spartan and giving everything up. I don't believe in that. Silly. I believe in giving up what God wants you to give up. And keeping what's right for you to have that doesn't distract you from God. And He's a blesser. He really wants to bless us. And that's why He's called us into the promised land. I want you to know this. It's been, they reminded me, 44 years. 44 years that we've been in this ministry. And even right now, we're going through a little hiccup transition to get our worship team together again. That's just not even a sneeze to God. That's just all a part of life. What's important is just keep on worshiping. I don't care how you do it. Well, what you got to do this, do that, but worship me. And believe God. I mean, you hear all the wonderful testimonies this morning. That's what it's about. Yes. It's not about the inconveniences. They're just, by the way, we don't always like them. I mean, the Lord said to me just recently when I was praying, because here's what I was praying. Lord, I don't want to be domineering and just be a person, because I've seen people that are domineering. Everything has to be, it's their way or the highway. And I said, Lord, you know, I just don't want to be that. Please show me what matters and what you want me to pay attention to, right? And if it's little things that don't matter to you, then I don't want them to matter to me either. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you haven't really liked some of the things that the Lord's allowed you to go through, have you? No, I didn't. I didn't like the way He allowed that to happen. So I guess we'd have to say I didn't like what He did. Yikes. And because I just found myself feeling complaining about it. Why do I have to go through this after I've been through all of that? Do you ever feel that way? Oh, God. Lord, give me a break, will you? With something like that. But then the Lord said, whatever is my will is the most wonderful place you could be in, no matter what's happening there, no matter what I'm doing. You just get in my will, and I'll take care of everything else.
Yes.
I heard this thing about all the wonderful things that are supposed to be happening even before this year ends. And I said, well, Lord, if these things be so, then a lot of us with aches and pains and needing a finish work on our healing are going to be seeing some things popping and happening.
Amen.
That's very encouraging to me. That is really good news.
Yes.
And someone said to me once, you know, we said there's going to be revival, but nothing happens. And I said, well, while we're waiting for revival, God's doing a lot of wonderful things. But let me add something else here. Only God can bring revival. I can't bring revival, and you can't, and nobody's church can, and no evangelist can. Only God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will bring revival.
Amen.
So it's our part to get our lives in order and to be a praying people and to say, when that revival comes, if you will come where we are, then we won't drive you away whining about, I wish things would go back to normal. Is that what happens when revival comes to churches? Well, of course, that's what happened in John Kilpatrick's church. It's the way it always is. After a cycle, people get, believe it or not, people get tired of God. And I don't know if you know, people get tired of miracles. We're not. I don't know, there's some talking going on in the peanut gallery that has to be controlled. This is why people think revivals come by cycles. God would stay a lot longer if the people would keep welcoming Him.
Amen.
We went to prayer meeting after prayer meeting after prayer meeting after God came here. We went all week long. We just kept saying, stay longer, stay long. Hey, there was nothing any better was going to happen than the things that were happening in those Holy Ghost prayer meetings. Do it again, Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you didn't really want to be involved. Just come when you want to. Stand around the edges. It's okay. But some of us are got to go forward with it.
Yes.
That's how you have revival. So I think it's getting very close. So, I'm coming around the bend. Is everybody okay? It's the season to go into the land and possess it.
Yes.
It's the time now. This is the season. There are many who will continue in churches that will never possess the land. They don't want to. Some of them don't know about it. That's another thing. And some people are not going to pay the price. This is why God called you out, don't you understand? It's why God called me out 40-some years ago. I wanted more. I wanted Him. I wanted His presence. I wanted reality. I wanted to be able to touch people and help them with their lives. They will choose rather to have things a certain way rather than God's way. Therefore, they won't enter into the power of His promise. Don't get the idea that when revival comes, everybody's going to be into it. Now, they're not. That doesn't bother me. God's called me to speak to as many as will listen. Also, what's his name who works with Bill Johnson, Gallerton? He had a prophetic word. Actually, it was the end of last year, but it was for this year. And he said, I'm telling you this. I saw America turn red, as in under the blood of Jesus, from the East Coast clear to the West Coast in 2018.
Yes.
Another thing, and don't blame this on me, I'm just sharing with you, just might excite you. And I hope it's true. But another thing he said was the Lord told him that he was going to freeze whatever China, whatever Iran and North Korea thought they were going to do with nuclear missiles. And he said that help was going to come out of China. That because of all that underground church thing that's been working there, that there's going to be a release of that. And the people that we least expect are going to be the people that are going to come and help others. I just think we can foresee wonderful things in the year 2018. That's why I'm so glad we started with prayer. I'm glad that for this being able to be with the thing that was streamed with Dutch Sheets and the others. And I think all of these things keep us stirred, keep our faith released, because it's time for us to do something other than come to church and hope for the best. Amen?
Amen.
What kept them from going into the land? See, we need to know this, don't we? I mean, this is real simple. This is before I plan to be teaching on actually going into the land and what's required about that journey. But this is just right here to give you some information. What keeps people from going into the land then? Wouldn't everybody want this? And what did Caleb and Joshua have that caused them to be chosen to go in? You need to know that so you can get that, right? They knew, Caleb and Joshua knew that there were giants in the land. They just had a different belief from the other spies. The giants were no different from what the other spies saw. It's just that Joshua and Caleb believed something different about them. Some people think the devil is huge. And they think he comes and visits them regularly, but he doesn't. He only comes to extremely important people. He sends demons for people like you and me. Though, he does do that. But it's just how you look. It's how big your devil is. I want to tell you what, my God is so big, it makes my devil tiny.
Amen.
They knew there were giants in the land. They just had a different belief from the other spies that looked at the land. And Joshua said, let's rise up and go. We are well able to take the land. You know, I said, you know, the person of... We had a person resign early in the work from a position that we had them in. And there was the reason. I mean, they didn't leave the church. They just resigned from this position. They said, I don't think I have the faith to take the steps that I see you're going to take. So he didn't want to be there and throw cold water on it. I thought it was good. But here's, but I'll just tell you what. It does take, you have to take risks if you go into this supernatural promised land. We're not talking about having a better church. We're talking about having the presence of God. I'm talking about the God of heaven.
Amen.
The Pentecost Holy Ghost. They said, let's rise up. They said, don't worry about these giants. They're bread for us. Jimmy said this recently. We eat them for breakfast. We have them for a snack for lunch. They are bread for us, these giants. This doesn't mean any. There's no problem. We are well able, Joshua said. We are well able. How do you know you're able? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengtheth me. So we got to get to the place where the ones who go in, it's like this. You've got to say, yes, I do see giants. But in the midst of the giants, I do see God. If God wants you to go in a land where there are giants, go in that land. It's better to be with midgets in a land where you'd rather be. I don't know that it's especially good to be with midgets. Anyway, I'm just simply saying that it doesn't matter what's in the land. If God has sent you there, and He's promised to protect you there, then you're better there than you are what looks like a safe place to you. Is that right?
Amen. Forget the
midgets. Yeah, it's not politically correct, I don't think. Excuse me. Excuse me. I was born at the time where we didn't even think about things like that.
It was
okay. Be forgiven. I only meant a very small person. All about pygmies. They can't help it. Joshua and Caleb were willing to take risks. They gave up their desire to manipulate things so they could turn out their way. They gave up their desire to manipulate things to get them to turn out their way. They were willing to take risks. It might not be the way I want it to be. I'm so glad that Mike Bracken explained to me why it gets cold in the spring and sets the bud. It just helped me immensely. I trusted God with spring before, but I don't think completely. And so somebody said to me the other day when I was exercising, well, these beautiful trees are in bloom and now I hear that we might get some snow. And I said, it's all part of spring. It's all good. Now once you understand that God's got it all, then you can let it snow on your blooming cherry tree and it doesn't matter. It takes a lot of courage to make this happen to yourself. Giving up control is never easy. So you have two choices. You're either headed into the promised land, because there's this promised land that's up before us now. And by the way, He'll take in a new generation, and He'll take in those of the older generation that want to go, that prepare themselves. He'll raise up a people, because He is going to have a people. In fact, you know, one prophetic word that I had said that I would raise up a new breed. And so I'm just believing God. I mean, people who think differently, real kingdom people, like Jesus described it.
Yes.
Not trying to Americanize the Christian life. You can't do it. America's a little too twisted for that. We've got a lot of things going, but we can't change the gospel. So if you had two choices, you're either headed into the promised land or you're headed back into the wilderness. And whenever you don't go on with God, the next place He's inviting you to come with Him, then you can expect to get into another wilderness. And you just have to try to fight your way out of that wilderness again. The ones who refused the promised land did not trust God that He would protect them. You don't know how big the giants are. Yeah, I read after one fellow who said they couldn't have been that big because it was something about Noah's ark and it didn't have any giants on it. I don't know, it's just a big explanation about how those giants Those same giants could not have been there. That was the whole point. So God would have created a whole bunch of new giants. His point being, you get so afraid you start making things up. We saw giants. They're probably just people 2 inches taller than they were. When you're afraid, everything looks big, right? Everything looks insurmountable. And some people are just given to fear. Some people are just born scared. And they don't want to try anything. They're just afraid. John had an aunt. She's with the Lord now. And she wouldn't drive to the cemetery, up to the building there at East Lawn. Not going up on that big high hill. East Lawn Cemetery, the hill that the building's on. When John and I were in Colorado once with the Sybil and Olin Griffin, we went through a park there, and it was 15,000 feet, the road we were driving on. That's not too bad, but there were no guardrails. Now, let me just say one more time, I don't relate to that. Actually, John wouldn't even look. And we were glad that we had a former highway patrolman driving us. That's Olin. Well, that was scary city. Now, there are things that are scary. Neither side. It was almost unbelievable. I just held my breath and prayed until we got down off of that thing. Whew. Well, I won't tell you more about that. And they didn't trust God that they would be victorious. But the scripture says God does always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. And He will make us more than conquerors. Well, I don't want to be more than a conqueror. That sounds like it'd be hard. It might be. It's going to be hard on your flesh. It'd be hard on your unbelief, real hard. Now, they would have to trust God's plan over their plan. How many of you have a little trouble with that sometimes? Well, God told me to give this, but I've got to have some back for that, and I've got to put some back for that. But, you know, every now and then He'll say, "Why? What if you just trusted me?" If it's really burning in your heart, that you should do it. There's a time to trust God. It's just amazing the things He will do for people who will sacrifice. So there were people who thought we were crazy when we did what we did. John's boss said to him, "Oh, John, don't ever give your house away. What are you thinking? That's a wrong thing to do." But he invited the people he worked with at Tennessee Eastman after we got everything up and running. And John hosted them and gave an open house and brought them out here. And their unbelief got a little bit smaller. But if you listen to other people, there's an awful lot of things you will never do. You know what? I'd rather have the will of God than other people. Just so valuable. It's everything. So I'm about through here. We've gone through a season. I'm talking about the church in general has gone through a season where many who were serving God have turned to walk another way. It's just a fact, especially in America. Even after they've seen the glory and seen miracles, people have done that. The Israelites despised or counted as little the true move of God that they were in the midst of. To them, it wasn't a move of God. It was just having to eat manna till you got sick of it. And it was just, it was having to wait until you heal the waters so that you could drink them. It was all of those things that we never did want to do. And plus, we didn't have any leeks and garlic. But God has not called us to simply get saved. Now, this is the last paragraph, so listen up here. God has not called us simply to be saved. He has called us to be a people who go into the land and bring Him glory.
Yes.
Because He said, "Nevertheless, as I live, All the earth shall be filled with my glory. And who will be those that will say, and we will be among those who will go into that land of glory and miracles and healings and victory that you promised, and we will bring glory to you there. If you choose not to go in with him to the land that he calls you to, he had the choice. The other choice is to return to the wilderness of missing God's wonderful plan to give you his very best and bring glory to his own name. Yes, and the Lord said those people would die in that wilderness. And you know, if you don't have life, the other choice is death. There's not an in-between zone. Some people think they can just put their toes in the water a little bit and salute God every now and then and, and put a quarter in the offering, something like that. And somehow God will find a way for them. But God says, if you choose against the promise of life that I've given you, there's nothing left than death, because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's just waiting for you to rebel and murmur and complain and say, oh, if I'd ever known this, I would have never come into the move of God, really. You know, here, some of us have been here so many years. Where would we be if we had not made this choice? You know, people are afraid they're going to miss something. Yeah, you might miss a divorce. You might miss having cancer. There's a lot of bad things can be missed by not choosing God's way. God's house is the place of protection. And his will is your absolute security. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the place right here on earth where God brings heaven down here with us. And he has called us to be among those who understand and get revelation that we are to lead others into this and minister to them until they joyfully come into it with it, with others come into it with us, so that they can in turn bring their friends and relatives and lost ones and hurt ones and dying ones, because it is his plan to set the captives free. Averna Tompkins, who's another one who has seen it all, she said to me basically, fasten your seatbelt. I had a person who's been unchurched for a number of years say to me, oh, I hope you don't preach this way, but back when I went to church, they never preached out of anything but the book of Revelation. And it's always about how bad you could get. And the pastor would come up and jump up and down, sometimes spitting on people as he talked, and he'd get all worked up and excited and jump up and down. I hope you don't do that. The person said, I said, boy, it sounds like it'd take a lot of energy. And I said, Revelation's just one book in the Bible. And by the way, it's a book about worship. It's not a book about judgment. And it's a book that tells you what's going on in heaven and how you can be a part of it. There's nothing to fear as long as God is holding on to us. And you don't have to preach judgment to get people into the kingdom of God. I'm preaching the kingdom of God, that it's wonderful. And the world pales compared. Anything they have to offer is nothing compared to what God has promised us in the promised land he's called us to. Let's stand together, shall we? What a great God. Let's give God an applause. Yeah.